Assalamu alaikum, and yes, welcome to another edition of Mind, Body, and Chow. Mohammed Salim forgot to play our Assalamu alaikum tune. But anyways, we'll continue. And Ronald joins us now on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ronald.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, brother Jazz?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, thank you. I am in Forsberg with my mom-in-law, and we are just cruising the streets.
I can hear the noise in the background there.
Yes.
I can smell the tandoori chicken as well.
No comment. Tandoori chicken with salad.
Yeah, so you're going to have a good workout now so that you can make space for some chow there, Ronald.
You know, the workout is so important because it doesn't matter where you are or how you are. You know, speaking of my mom-in-law, and look at it, she's in her 60s, and, you know, it's very strange that as people get older, they begin to realize, okay, I now need to look after my body. And, you know, the motivation for today's workout stems from that because I want to give the older people a workout to follow that and also the younger people to do it because it's a preventative measure for them, but for the older people, something that is easy for them to do but to get benefit out of it for them as well. So this workout is non-ageist and it's a workout that will really just help tighten those muscles and activate them, which is what we want to do.
Brilliant stuff. Let's go.
All right, so first things first, with this workout, I want everybody, right, wherever they are, just to stand where you are and keep your feet shoulder width apart. And with your feet shoulder width apart, we're going to start off by getting blood flow to pump from the calves and the right up into the body. So we're going to start off with calf raises. Now, many people will say, Ronald, it's weird. You must always do big muscle groups first. And the answer to that is no, you don't. You can also tweak the body by working small muscle groups first, which activates them in a different way. So calf raises, you're going to do for 60 seconds, getting the heart to pump the blood right down into the calves. Are you ready?
I am.
I want you to lift the heels up as high as you can, hold it there for a second, and just before it touches the floor, you lift up again. So drop and raise, drop and raise. That is the rhythm that you do the calf raises with. Remember to keep your knees straight. Tighten your abs, so pull your abs towards your spine to engage your core, so you have some stability with that, and you go non-stop for 60 seconds. When you hit the 30-second mark, you're going to feel a burn in the legs. And you know what? That burn is okay. It just means the muscles are working. Keep pushing through, and then let's go for it. 10 more, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and relax it down. Now, next one, I want you to place your hands on the table or a chair in front of you. I want you to open your feet slightly wider than shoulder width apart, both feet pointing forward. And even if the, you know, ladies are there cooking, you know, you can do this in front of the, you know, next to the stove on a counter. There's always a place to do these workouts. Now, what I want you now to do is bend the knees halfway down and just hold it there. Do you have that position? Now, from that position, I want you to take your right leg back and take it forward again. Then take the left leg back, but your knees are constantly bent. Your head is not raising up and down, and your back is fairly straight. So hold that position with both knees bent, feet shoulder width apart. Then right leg goes back, forward. Left leg goes back. Now, as you do this workout, you begin to isolate individual muscles. So you begin to isolate the muscles in and around the top of the knee area. And a lot of older people get a lot of fat that gets built up in that area. So we need to activate the muscles because a lot of fat means the muscles have been going through wear and tear and they're beginning to break down. So we're going to strengthen that area up. So keep going backwards and then change legs backwards. Very unique exercise. It's not a lunge. It's not a squat. We can, you know, call it a squunge, rather. It's a combination of the two. All right, then you do each leg for 15 repetitions and relax it up. Next one, open the feet even wider, you know, and then from there sit low and hold that position. Now, when you hold that position, I want everyone to make a tight fist in front of them. And I want you to punch out utilizing power only, no speed, power. So punch, 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 but keeping your knees bent, keeping yourself in a squat and holding that position. Punch, punch, right? Punch it straight on in front of you on the same line. You do that for 30 seconds. You're now going to punch for power and speed at a 45-degree angle. So you're going to keep your knees bent, and you're going to twist the upper body so your left hand will punch to the right 45 degrees, right hand to the left 45 degrees. Go, go, go. Now, while you do this, you punch, 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 you're twisting on the upper body. You'll realize that you're also engaging your abs and your core, that if you do this for 30 to 45, even 60 seconds, you're going to get a brilliant ab workout as well as a cardio workout, strength workout for the upper body, and total strength workout for the lower body. And that's what you then do. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Punch, 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 punch. Good, and relax it down. And the final thing for everybody out there is that you're going to place both hands onto the counter or the chair in front of you. Feet, again, wide apart as they were. Straighten the legs. And all that I want you to do is keep the left leg straight and put all the pressure onto your right leg. So you're bending it down. But while that is bent in that position, so your left leg is straight to the side, your weight's on your right leg, bend. I want you to take your buttock backwards. So you feel a stretch on the glute muscle, but also on the inside thigh. Change sides, stretch it out. Bend the left leg, all the weight onto the left leg, feet are wide apart. Straighten the right leg and push that buttock backwards so you feel that nice stretch. And relax it down. You do the stretch 3 times on each side, hold it for 15 seconds, and that's your cardio, your strength, and your flexibility workout for young and for old.
Nice one, Ronald. An all-round performance, I think. JazakAllah khair for that workout. Now, for yesterday we were discussing hypertension and high blood pressure, and we received so many questions, and I think we're going to continue with them today, are we?
You know, I love that because, you know, when people are asking a lot of questions, it means it's a relevant issue, especially for the listeners, and we want to meet that need and just give them the right information regarding that. So what we're going to be doing is that, just to recap on the discussion yesterday, we spoke about hypertension. What is hypertension? Hypertension is when there's a high blood pressure. Mm-hmm. That's another phrase for it or word for it. And it is linked into a disease of lifestyle because our lifestyle affects our blood pressure. The more stressed you are, the more overweight you are, the more inactive you are, the more you smoke and the more you eat processed and very salty foods, the higher you are at risk of a higher blood pressure. And what does that mean? It means you're straining your heart, you're straining your blood vessels, and you could risk a stroke or you could even risk a heart attack with regards to that.
Okay. Now I've got about 5 or 6 still here, Ronald. The one says here, will hypertension cause any damage to my body?
Yes, it would. You know, hypertension puts your heart under enormous stress. And like we described yesterday, I spoke about the blood vessels being like a hosepipe. If you increase the pressure of the water in the hosepipe, you put pressure onto the hosepipe itself, and those are your blood vessels, your veins and your arteries and so forth, and your capillaries. So when that happens, the heart is constantly pumping. So the heart is pumping at a very high rate, and it's also pumping a lot of fluid through. So what happens is this, it does fatigue, it does get tired, and you do put your internal organs under a lot of stress and strain. You'll also find that when that happens, you'll find that you will get out of breath quicker. You'll find different pains in the neck and in shoulder areas, in the chest even. You could also risk increase in heart rate, which is called arrhythmia or irregular heartbeats. So it will cause strain onto your body, and you need to literally learn. And yesterday I mentioned this in the end, Brother Joseph. We've got to learn how to manage our stress and to slow our heart rates down to try to bring our blood pressures down. And it's managing anger, it's managing frustration, managing stressful situations, and those are the proactive measures to bring into play.
Brilliant stuff. Another one here, Ronald says, I have diabetes. Do I have to be more careful to control my high blood pressure?
Yes, yes, yes. Diabetes is another disease of lifestyle, and the heart issues and the diabetes issues work closely together, especially even because of the cholesterol. So have that checked as well. Because with diabetes, you said, we look at it, and it's a higher blood glucose level. So what that means is that your internal organs are working at a different rate to facilitate the excess sugar that you might have in your body or the lack of sugar you have in your body. Because then you could become hyperglycemic, too much sugar, or hypoglycemic, too little sugar. And if you have too little sugar in your bloodstream, because, you know, you're trying to find the balance with being a diabetic, you'll find that your heart rate will slow down, you'll be more fatigued, you literally feel lethargic and you just want to sleep. And if it goes higher, you'll find that it begins to pump too much and you really feel that you can't control it and you really also want to pass out. So you need to be conscious thereof if you are a diabetic, and overall manage both areas with the same tools. The tools of activity, stress management, cutting out refined sugar, cutting out excess salt, and just focusing on your fruits and your veggies prepared in the right way. That's our goal and our aim.
Brilliant stuff. And you're listening to Mind, Body and Chow. You've got about 4 minutes left to get your questions in regards to high blood pressure. You can do so on SMS 48855. You can WhatsApp 0727861548. Or you can tweet at EJAZ_K. So get those questions in as soon as you can. Phone as well. The lines are open throughout. Ronald, the next question here, it says, can high blood pressure be cured or is it a chronic illness?
You know, it can become a chronic illness, and that's where they put you on certain medication, depending on how high it is. If you have a family history or a hereditary background of hypertension, yes, it can be. However, can it be cured? It can be managed and decreased if there's no serious medical condition associated with it or any other additional conditions. For example, we could identify what the extraneous variable is causing the blood pressure. If it's obesity, we can cut down on weight. You can then decrease your blood pressure. If it is too much salt in your diet or your diet is pure, we just cut out additional salt, watch how you prepare your food, etc. So there are ways and means around it. And can it be cured? Yes, it can. Can it be managed? Yes, it can. Can it be done without being proactive around it and actually fulfilling the action? No, it can't. You need to do something about it. And if you know that you have a family history of high blood pressure or any disease of lifestyle, be proactive, get it checked and tested, and bring in these healthy living habits that you and I have been talking about for weeks upon weeks to implement into one's lifestyle.
Indeed. And here's another one here, Ronald. Hypertension in pregnancy. What can I do or what medication should I take?
All right, when it comes to pregnancy, you know, firstly, if a person is pregnant, I say to them congratulations because, you know, it's a blessing to be pregnant and to have a life growing inside of you. You know, it's always a blessing. However, when it comes to your health and you're pregnant, two things you got to do, especially with hypertension. You go and check your gynecologist first. Go to your specialist because your priority is your body but also your baby's body. And you don't want to take extra medication that could cause any issues regarding the baby's growth and development within your body. The second thing you need to be conscious of, that if you are on medication for hypertension when you are pregnant, you need to really, really change your eating habits. You need to really be conscious of not taking in any extra salty foods or anything of the sort that's going to increase that blood pressure. And finally, you need to manage the stress. Being pregnant is very stressful. And if you don't manage your stress and if you don't really be proactive with regards to just calming yourself down, you'll increase your heart rate and your blood pressure. So outside of medication, you have alternatives. But if you are going to go into medication, go and chat to your gynecologist ASAP and follow their guidance with a wonderful nutritionist or exercise physiologist as your support team around it.
Brilliant stuff. Jazakallah khair for all the info, Ronald. We really appreciate your expertise. And you know what? You're sitting in Fordsburg. Make it your cheat day today. Go and have some lekker stuff there out in the Fordsburg food area. And we won't tell anyone.
You know, I want to be like Leicester and just be on top of the log, so I will not cheat. Maybe Liverpool supporters might because they're not there yet, but good news for you, my brother. My mom-in-law is a diehard Liverpool supporter, and I told her we have something in common, so I'm blessed today.
She sounds like a wonderful person.
She definitely is, and thank you so much. Everyone out there, have a healthy weekend, and please remember that with hypertension, manage your kids' stress as well. Exam time is coming up late in the year. Help them manage it and help them be healthy, productive and successful with academics and their health.
Ameen. Jazakallah khair, Ronald, for all of that. And we'll pick it up next week for another week filled with exercise and motivation and all of that that you bring to the station and the airwaves of Radio Islam. You have yourself a wonderful day, sir. All right, then. Ronald has left us all. Our line maybe just went sat there. But anyway, in a few minutes time, inshallah, we'll be joined by Faiza Munshi. And today we're discussing a very, very pertinent topic, right? And the question we're asking is, what good old-fashioned values would you like to see making a comeback? And we've put that out on Twitter and Facebook, and there have been responses already. We'll read that out, inshallah, when Faiza joins us in a few seconds time. سبيل مريح تنهد يا صاحي كي تستريح وبوس الدعاء الخفي الصريح يسعك الفضاء الرحيم الفسيح سبيل الدموع سبيل ولك just gone 1:45, and Faiza Munshi joins us now on the line, and a very interesting topic we'll be speaking about. What is it that you'd like to bring back in terms of good old-fashioned values, which seems to be invisible or has gone completely from society or is fading away? every day. So we welcome her now to the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Faiza Munshi.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Jaz. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, alhamdulillah. Keeping good, eh?
Can I ask you, what was it that, you know, inspired you to bring up this topic in particular?
You know, I mean, since we started chatting 2 or 3 weeks ago, I often wonder, you know, what do we use as material for our short discussions that we have every week? And I thought, it's usually life stuff. It's like we did on generosity, and then we did last week on procrastination. And this week, it actually came from a story that someone had told me. And so oftentimes it's not really the psychology textbooks and big fat textbooks and sociology textbooks that we're taking stuff from, but rather from real life. So a friend of mine said to me, she said, you know, she was sitting and chatting to a friend of hers, and she said, the story stuck in her mind because what had happened was, the lady said, you know, she had a son in his late 20s who had hurt himself in a sporting accident. And so, obviously his leg was hurt, so he was a bit nervous about going to Salah. So it came to the Jummah, Salah, and his mom said, okay, I'm taking you to Jummah. You know, there's no two ways about it. You're going to Jummah. And he was very nervous, but she said, don't worry about it. You're going to the masjid and you get help at the masjid. Why are you so nervous about it? Why are you so worried? And they got to the masjid, and obviously as a woman, she's not going to go right into the whole crowd because it was busy and all of that. Mm-hmm. So she sat in the car, and he needed to lift his leg up on a pillow. So what had happened was he was trying to get out of the car, and he's trying to juggle, you know, these crutches and this pillow under his arm, and he's trying to walk in. She's like, can someone help this boy? You know, I can't get out of the car. Mm-hmm. She felt uncomfortable, and she saw lots of people sort of walk past him. And she couldn't get it because a lot of young people had walked past him completely oblivious, like almost like he's not there. Hmm. And then she saw this old man, and she literally saw this whole thing in action. And she saw this old man come in. He parked his car, and he rushed out of his car. She could see all of this, and she saw this old gentleman come out of his car, rushing out of his car. And the first thing, he went straight to this young man, and he took the pillow from him, and he gave him his arm. So the young boy held on to the old man, and they walked into the masjid together. You know, and he supports him all the way through. And when her son came back home, she wanted the rest of the story because she said, you know what, she just wanted to know what had happened. And she said what she pictured in her mind was exactly what had happened in the masjid. The old man had gone, he put out a chair for the young boy, and he made sure that he was comfortable before he himself carried on. Now, this was an old person that he himself was struggling to walk. He himself had a limp, or, you know, he's old, and he's... And there were like lots of young people sort of walking past, and she just, for the life of her, couldn't understand how it was. And that's where we started talking about this issue of old-fashioned values. And that's where the old person had come in. It was natural for him, in his mind, this is what you would have done all those years ago. If somebody is in a position where they are not able to help themselves, you would help them. And I think we've come to a new generation of thinking, is that we are so busy and everything, we are so oblivious almost to what's going on around us, that we don't even realize like how these old-fashioned values could help us in daily life. And I think old-fashioned values, literally, it's synonymous with family values. So a lot of what we talk about will be, you know, mixed between old-fashioned values and also important family values. Some people would have implemented, and some maybe people would go, oh, you know what, maybe we could actually bring that back into our lives.
Indeed.
And so that's what sort of inspired today's conversation and today's chat on it.
Okay, before I go to the messages we have received on Facebook, I just want to, on a lighter note on that story, Faiza, that the old man was actually inviting the youngster into what we call the chairman's club of the masjid, because I'm most of the time I'm part of that with my soccer injuries and stuff, so I know exactly that story. You know, so the young man has been indicted.
He's
what's the word? Yeah, he's been into the chairman's club, indeed.
Oh.
Here's some messages, Faiza, from Mumtaz Musa Salih. She says, when you're asking about what type of good old-fashioned values would you like to see come back, she says, respect. Have you met the kids nowadays? She says, and then she says, also the need to eat things fresh, buy when you need situation. Then Asia Mohammed saying, accountability, adaptability, ambition, calmness, cleanliness, environmentalism, ethics, reflection, relaxation. No, it's not done. One more. And thrift. I don't know why she added that, but jazakallah khair for that. Is lots more to come. But let's go back now into the values. What values are we talking about, Faiza, when you're talking about good old-fashioned values?
Well, I think the first thing, and I would like to touch on the point that you got from the sister, is we're talking about kids. And that's the first thing we want to talk about, because that's our future generation, right? And that's the first one I want to bring up, is kids in present society. The first thing is making salam and greeting. Mm. I think we all have that issue with our little kids where we say, can you go and make salam, and they're shy or whatever.
Yes.
But the thing is, we need to bring this back. It's like the kids, children's manners, they have changed.
Mm.
So what would happen is, I mean, in good old-fashioned days, people would come and visit you, and your kids had to be there. They had to be in front, they had to greet people. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, if they were doing homework or doing whatever, they'd go off and do whatever they were doing,
yeah,
and not sit in adult conversation. But they would be expected to greet.
Mm.
Often these days, people would walk into people's homes, out of people's homes, having had a full visit to their homes, and never even get a nod from the kids. And the kids would be right there. And the reason for that is because of technology. And we can't blame technology fully, but kids become so engrossed in technology. And so the TV's on, the internet's on, whatever's on what they're doing, or the PlayStation, whatever. They will not pull themselves away from that, even in for a few seconds to go and greet someone, you know. So it's something that's become quite obvious in terms of our kids and their nature and what they've been doing. But a simple thing of children's manners, like we said, kids greeting other people when they walk in. Also, the old-fashioned thing of kids getting up from a chair when they see an adult walk into the room and there's no other seats available. Like whether you're in a, it doesn't matter what the race of the person is, what the gender, whatever it is. If the child's sitting on a chair, they need to be taught, okay, we're sitting in a doctor's room or whatever. If an adult walks in and there's no other place, you're going to get up and let someone that's elderly sit down. Now, for many kids these days, they'll be like, what are you talking about? I'm tired. I want to sit, you know? And I think that comes from us as adults to say, you know what, you're going to get up, even if you're tired, sit on the floor if you have to, but give the elder person a chair. So it's a kind of old-fashioned thing that we would have done it, but I think what's happened is because of smaller families, nuclear families, you don't have that much interaction with older people, with grandparents and stuff like that, where, you know, that was taught by grandparents, you're going to get up and let me sit, you know. So those kind of things. Also, a lot of the care of our kids is left in other people's hands. So we hope that we're sending them to good schools, good organizations, good madrasas, good schools, and we leave the care of our kids and the teaching of values of our kids to the teachers, for example. The teachers are just a secondary teaching, avenue. We as parents are the first avenue in terms of teaching, especially values, because, I mean, they see what we do and then they follow what we do also. So a lot of the times also, like we were talking about technology, oftentimes now everyone's so busy on their phones, it's no different to the kids who are busy, you know, watching TV or whatever. As adults, we're so busy on social media that even we fail to look up and make salam to people sometimes. So I think what we do in terms of ourselves as adults is to actually look at, you know, how are we portraying that behavior, and how are they going to follow what we're actually doing? So that's some of the stuff. So in terms of, you know, kids, we're talking about like greeting, children's manners, teaching them how they need to respect adults, speak to adults with respect, and also the issue of entitlement. I think our kids think they're entitled to just about everything. So I don't think kids would like me very much for this one, but bringing back chores in the home. So small little things that kids can do. I mean, our kids, I think they literally do nothing for themselves anymore because they're entitled. They feel that there's a helper in the home. The helper must do everything for them. So simple things like polish your own shoes, get mud off your own shoes and polish it once in a while, or, you know, pick up after yourself, things like that. So those are things that young kids had to do in the days gone by, and I think we need to actually bring that back. So that kids don't feel like they're entitled and that they need to disrespect anybody, anyone and everyone that works for them because they're just entitled to, you know, not doing any chores and stuff like that. So that's just dealing with the kids. And then also from a different perspective, when we look at friendships, good old-fashioned friendships, I'm not sure, you know, if that makes any sense, Jaz, but
it does.
I think because, I mean, a lot of friendships now are based on the virtual world. I don't have a lot of interaction on Facebook, and I must be honest. But a lot of people would talk about Facebook and have tons of friends, but people that they've never actually met, that they don't really know. So bringing back old-fashioned, real friendships, and not virtual friendships, not social media sort of friendships, and also that we as human beings, as individuals, that we actually value each friendship. You know, so it's the value of the friendship needs to be that if I come to you with an issue, that I'm respected enough that you will not take that issue to 10 different people. And You know, you see that a lot these days. It says friendships based on very, very different things. Like in the old, I don't know about you, but I'm sure your parents as well have had friends that they know for generations almost.
From the 2000 and Cliptown days, yeah.
From Cliptown days. So, and those friendships have stayed because it wasn't a virtual friendship, first of all. There was definite, you know, interaction in those friendships. There was care in those friendships. And there was also a sense of trust. You know, so if I come to you with a problem, I'm not going to see it on the next social media, on the next Twitter feed. I'm not going to see it, I'm not going to hear about it in the next social that we go to. So bringing back those values to ourselves is at us, and to say, you know what, let's value those friendships that we have. And let's not have friendship based on virtual stuff and also based on material, you know, benefits or material issues. So things, there must be, there's a definite, I mean, many people are very fortunate to still have that in this day and age. But some people take friendships lightly. And I think to just, you know, value what you have if you have good friends like that.
Now, Faiza, we've got lots of interactions. Hasina Majid saying community responsibility for kids, where adults are responsible for all kids in the community, where people no longer have to be afraid of how parents might react. It's a stepping stone to reclaiming our society from social evils like drugs, prostitution and crime. Fatima Adam saying the concept of family these days, it is lost. And finally, Fazana Bismillah Bamji saying responsibility is something that seems to be taboo these days. From kids to adults, responsibility seems to have been lost over the years. While growing up, my siblings and I had to undertake a lot of responsibility in our home, and today I'm ever so grateful for that. And before I lose this thought, Faiza, the All Blacks are the world champions in rugby, but every single one of them in the hotel, whichever five-star hotel they stay in, they make their own beds. How amazing is that?
See, so that's their old-fashioned values that they brought with them from wherever they lived and what their parents had taught them. So it doesn't matter how much they earn now or who they are or where they are, but that's something that they do. And that's something that people will look at and say, wow, like you're saying, you know, they make their own beds. And before, I know we've just got like, what, a minute left.
Mm-hmm.
Is the other one last old-fashioned value I'd like to bring up is this issue of care. We've spread out quite a lot in terms of neighborhoods and areas we're living in, places we live in. But being able to bring back that caring of community, like your listener said, and also the caring for neighbors. Because, you know, everyone says neighbors hug, and that's true. And it may not be your immediate neighbor. It may be a few doors away. It may be 2 kilometers away. Mm-hmm. But to be able to just make sure that, are they okay once in a while? Nobody needs to be, I know people are very worried about, you know, intrusion in their homes. It doesn't have to be intrusive, but it needs to be that you know that if they're in a situation that they have a problem, that you'll be the first person that they call, because you're going to be the quickest person that's going to be there. Mm-hmm. And that's something I'd like to also leave with the listeners, that, you know, just bringing back that neighborhood feel. And also, if you'd like, just to put it out on Twitter and ask the question, and we can maybe just, you know, talk about it at another time, is which communities out there have still got that sense of community feel? So if something happens in one home, you know, they don't, the family doesn't have to worry about anything. They know that they are taken care of, not just by family, but mainly by community members. So I'd just like to hear from our listeners, you know what, which communities out there are like that and still have that old-fashioned value of keeping community together?
Brilliant stuff. I'll put that out, inshallah, next week before the show, and then we'll read out those comments from people who send out. And I got a feeling it's going to come from more of those outer regions like Roshni and all of that, you know, where they have the sense of community, where you enter and everyone wants to know what are you doing there. So there's this security apparatus.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised the places that community feel comes from. So let's put it out there next week and let's see, inshallah, the responses we get and take it from there.
Perfect. Jazakallah khair, Faiza. And we'll pick it up next week. You have yourself a wonderful day.
You too. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That is the end of Mind, Body and Chow for today. We pick it up next week, Monday, inshallah, for more exercise, motivation and holistic therapies and a lot of things to bring a better you. From myself and Muhammad Salim for today, it's...
Assalamu alaikum.